Joining me in the studio today is cellist Maya Beiser. She's in town for the Big Ears Festival, which features two exciting opportunities to hear her live. Maya was kind enough to stop by WUOT to chat with me about her music, Big Ears, and life as the cello goddess. Maya, thanks so much for coming in today.
Happy to be here, Whitney.
As we mentioned, you're here for Knoxville's Big Ears Festival, which for those who may not be in the know is a fairly avant-garde music and arts festival, really the only one of its kind here in America. Why don't you share with us what you'll be performing on the festival this weekend?
Well, so I'm playing two different concerts. The first one is at the Tennessee Theater. I'm playing the Nakoikatsi Cello Concerto, Philip Glass. Very excited. Stephen Schick is a wonderful conductor and a longtime collaborator of mine. And then on Saturday at 2 p.m., I'm performing at the Bijou Theater, and I'm doing a solo show.
Your musical journey has been nothing if not unusual. You grew up in the mountains of Israel and then made your way to Yale to study music. And now you are an innovative, classification-defying cellist. How did you end up where you are?
Well, I don't know. I think it's in my DNA, you know? Yeah, I was kind of a rebel from the day I was born. And I've always was looking to do things a little different, to find, you know, my own path, to define things, to question things. So I think this is just kind of how I was born. But music, it's just been one of those things that it was a gift that was given to me. You know, as a child, I discovered that I had a talent for music and started to play the cello. And the cello for me is just, you know, became this, you know, it's almost like an extension of myself and my body. And it's just, it's this vehicle, really. So I, in many ways, I see myself as an artist in many different genres, you know, as a performing artist as well. But of course, the cello is my main vehicle.
Was the cello your first instrument, or did you switch from violin or some other string?
Yeah, so, you know, in the kibbutz where I grew up, everybody started to play an instrument when we were 6 years old, and they tested everyone to see, you know, your musical talent and discovered that I had perfect pitch and all that, so they recommended that I started a violin. But a lot of people started a violin, and so me being, you know, the girl who wanted something that nobody else had, I said, I wanted a cello, and because nobody played the cello. And there was another secret agenda for me, which is I really wanted to expand out of the kibbutz, and it was a tiny little community, and the cello teacher was outside of the kibbutz. So that was a wonderful adventure for a six-year-old, because my dad would used to travel with me and take me on the bus, you know, to the nearby town to study. And but on top of that, I really, you know, I've always loved the cello. My father had all these old recordings of Pablo Casals that he would play for me. And, you know, I love the sound of the cello. I was bonded with it.
Some might describe you as a classical musician. Others would say your music borders more on rock. And some would say you defy classification entirely. So I want to know how you would describe your sound and the music that you play.
Yeah, you know, for me, none of those classifications have much meaning, really. I was raised and trained as a classical cellist. And I think that is my foundation. I believe that in order to be able to play the cello well, you need to have a classical training. I mean, it's just, there's just something about that that just cannot be passed away in some way. But the music that I love and that I am interested in is kind of boundless and boundaryless. And so I do all these things. I don't really think of myself these days as classical cellist or, you know, indie cellist, or I just, you know, I play the music that moves me and that I like and that I think my listeners would be compelled by.
I think we're seeing a bit of a shift these days when it comes to those kinds of categories, whether it's country and pop, classical and rock. The boundaries are blurring more and more every day. As we move forward, do you see that trend in music continuing, or do you think eventually we'll have some kind of rebellion and revert back to more clean-cut classifications? This is, of course, a big-picture question, but where do you see music going in the future?
Yeah, I think we are going to see an extension of that. I think that music needs to be a relevant part of our culture. You know, it needs to speak to what we're experiencing. It needs to be an art form that connects and that relates to our human experience. And so it can't be only this thing that's in a museum. So for me, this is what it's about. It's about a living art form that is relevant and that it connects to, to the many aspects of our, humanity. I think that we have more and more classical musicians who are really trying to, sort of take it out of the podium, I guess. This is what it is for me in many ways. It's just to kind of take the dust off and actually come be more a part of the conversation.
So much of your art is a collaborative effort. You layer your voice with your instrument. You combine electronic effects with your sound. You pair visual aids and films with your performances. And it all results in these hugely unique kind of performance art experiences. Where do you get your ideas for these collaborative efforts?
First of all, I'm very much a visual person. And so I have, I see music. You know, it's kind of strange, but I have visuals that are connected to music. So I've always wanted to combine that and to sort of expand the palette, if you will, of not just the sonic elements, but also visual elements. So as far as the sonic elements, for me, the use of technology is really key, because I just love being able to connect technology with my ancient instrument and sort of see what happens. So that's one thing. That's why I've been doing a lot of multi-tracking, a lot of live looping, a lot of processing of the cello, as well as just plain beautiful cello sound. So I kind of love all that range. And then the visuals, I'm just, I'm very interested in that. So, and I have a lot of friends who are visual artists. So I collaborate with a lot of people in the theater world and the film world to just join me in different projects.
So when you're at the start of one of these collaborative projects, what's that process like? Which element begins first? Is it kind of a chicken or an egg scenario, or do they both evolve at the same time? Do we see the music created first and then the visual aid is paired with it? Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's usually the chicken. usually the music comes first for me. But sometimes it's an idea and then comes the music and then comes the visual. And sometimes we kind of everything evolves together, but mostly, specifically, let's say for what you're going to see on Saturday, the visuals really were created. In fact, the big film that that's going to be performed on Saturday with Just Ancient Loops, which is one of the big pieces that I'm doing, I think it's a remarkable piece. The film that was created by Bill Morrison was cut to the music. So the music was done first and then the film was done. And I love that process because, usually it's the other way around. I also do a lot of film scores. And when you do a film score, of course, the film is cut. And then you come in and then you add your little, not little sometimes, but you add your nuance, to the film, to the narrative. And in this case, the music is the narrative. And then the film becomes the environment for the music. So I love that.
You mentioned earlier that you have an ancient cello. So tell us a little bit about it. What's your primary instrument?
Well, right now I'm playing on a Grancino cello, which is a beautiful, beautiful instrument, 300 and something years old. And yeah, It's really great. I have several instruments that I play, but you know, the other side of it is that I play on an electric Yamaha cello, hollow electric Yamaha. So yeah, I have several contemporary instruments. I like to commission, you know, great makers of today to create instruments for me as well. So I have a whole bunch.
As far as other musicians and composers go, who inspires you?
Well, so many, you know, but there's a wonderful avant-garde composer in Holland, Louis Andriessen, who's been kind of a huge mentor of mine. Steve Reich is a dear friend and mentor. In fact, I'm playing Steve Reich in my concert on Saturday. I'm playing the only cello piece that he's ever written, which he wrote for me. Laurie Anderson, who is here this weekend, she's always been a great inspiration for me, just the breadth of what she does. Janis Joplin, one of probably my first love musical. I mean, I just completely fell in love with her her music when I was 16, and so that inspired my latest album, which is called Uncovered, because I've always wanted to play the cello the way she has. Brian Eno is another one. There's so many.
One last thing before we part ways. In talking about the Big Ears Festival and the new music featured there, I think it's not uncommon for some people to maybe be a little intimidated by that idea. What would you say to any of our listeners who are kind of on the fence about attending the festival?
I think there's absolutely nothing intimidating about this festival. I think what's wonderful about this festival is, first of all, the breadth of it is phenomenal. So you can kind of find, you know, your way and something that appeals to your taste, because it's a pretty wide range. But what I would encourage people to do is to actually explore things they don't know. I think what's so wonderful about this, it's a small town and you can really go and see different things, and you can be exposed to artists that you probably wouldn't have known otherwise. And I think, to me, this is what's so wonderful about a festival like this, because that's when you can really discover. You know, we tend to go about life sort of going the safe route and just, you know, listening to the stuff we already know and love, and you know, going to the same restaurant that we. So there's just something wonderful about sort of, you know, this weekend of adventure. Just go for an adventure and explore. And it's avant-garde, but it's not this sort of highbrow, snobbish sort of environment. To the contrary, it's very laid back and it's very inviting. So, you know, come and be a part of it.
So there's no excuse for not going. Maya, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us about Big Ears. It was wonderful having you here.
Pleasure.
That was cellist Maya Beiser. She is in town for the Big Ears Festival, an avant-garde music and arts experience held every year here in Knoxville. You can catch Maya in two separate performances on the festival. She'll be playing with the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra on Thursday night, and then holding a solo recital at the Bijou Theater on Saturday night. Tickets and more information can be found at BigEarsFestival.com.